A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
You are just number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 89. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television. And today we are continuing our discussion of Crime Traveller. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello.
Detective Jeff Slade and forensic scientist, police science officer Holly Turner use her father's time machine, now her time machine, to travel back in time to solve murders. There were 8 episodes, 50 minutes each, that were separate standalone episodes in one season that was basically a new murder mystery each week.
That's right. That's the basic premise of this show we've been talking about from the BBC in 1997. And as we mentioned last time, there are a few ongoing themes that emerge as the series progresses, although the episodes are standalone stories. In particular, we have the difficulties of maintaining a time machine. We've mentioned that this is a very elaborate, complicated device with lots of bits of machinery and technology bolted on and various bits going wrong at various times. So Holly Turner has quite a struggle trying to maintain the time machine, and in particular paying for it, because we find out in various episodes that the components are extremely expensive, and when they fail and have to be replaced, that causes all sorts of problems for them. We've also got the rules of time travel, and Jeff Slade as this sort of rather confident, bullheaded detective who is continually trying to break the rules of time travel. So he will usually run up against that in most episodes, with Holly having to explain to him why he can't do what he's suggesting he will do.
And of course, there's the suggestion of a growing attraction between the pair. And over the series, it does become more and more a possibility of them maybe becoming a couple.
Yes, I mean, that does seem to emerge as we go on, and did seem to be a definite promise for the future that there would be a growing relationship between the two of them. So that's another interesting element to this show.
Yes, they have a very sort of fun and stylish pair of lead characters that's maybe even influenced a bit by shows like The Avengers.
So we've got some of the individual episodes that we're going to just talk about in a bit more detail. We have the very first episode, I suppose the pilot episode, which was called Jeff Slade and the Loop of Infinity. And this is the first time that Slade and Turner really get to know each other, and that Holly Turner will reveal the time machine to Slade, and first time they will use it to try and solve a crime. The setup for that particular episode is that Jeff Slade has been involved in a stakeout of a well-known criminal suspect, and the stakeout goes terribly wrong, which results in him being sort of roundly carpeted by Kate Grisham, their boss. And as a result, he tries to put things right by using the time machine. And of course, things will work out in the end of the episode, but not without some scrapes and complications along the way, Brian.
Yes, it also has this nice little turn of Jeff Slade seeing Holly as she's time traveling on her own, and his sort of discovery that something is going on here and pushing the issue and being told about the time machine because of these things happening. So he sort of pushes his way in, and that was sort of nicely done.
And that idea of him seeing Holly traveling in time by herself is something that came up in an episode called The Revenge of the Chronology Protection Hypothesis. What happened here was that Holly sees a news item which announces that Jeff Slade has been shot, and so she travels back in time by herself to try and find out what happened and see if she can prevent it. But of course, this produces all sorts of possible paradoxes when Slade realizes what's happening, because he knows about the time travel, the time machine. And, of course, as we've said, in a way, her travelling back in time seeks to almost provoke some of the events that she was seeking to avoid.
Yes, and in the rules of this show, which are quite fun, they won't actually change the present by going into the past, but they may have some influence on it that was already evident before they even went to the past. So you do get some interesting things that you know that she can't change it. She can't make it so he won't be shot, but maybe her involvement can make the details so that perhaps it's not so bad.
And it produces some interesting complications for them.
Yes, absolutely. Then we get to an episode called The Lottery Experiment, in which Slade decides that he should take the winning numbers for a lottery back in time, enter the lottery, and then they will win the lottery and get all kinds of money. And he persuades Holly Turner that this is a good idea because she needs to fund the components and the maintenance for keeping the time machine working. So this becomes a sort of runaround. There is a mystery involved in the episode too, but you end up with this runaround of them trying to get this lottery win, and they take the numbers back, and the numbers don't go back, and they find a way to get the numbers back, and there always will be something that makes it not what they had hoped. So it was actually quite clever, and it's an entertaining little episode.
It is indeed, yes, because as you say, Slade is determined to beat the rules of time travel, but he's constantly being blocked. Not least, as you say, because Grisham wants him involved in a gold bullion robbery that's taken place. And so he's trying to solve that particular crime while at the same time desperately trying to get these numbers to Holly and constantly being blocked along the way. So lots of fun and lots of time travel paradox along the way.
And they get Robson involved in that, the bright, young, naive cop. So it's this whole sequence of things that is quite convoluted and very entertaining.
Yeah, if it can go wrong for Slade, it does seem to go wrong for Slade in that episode.
Absolutely. And the last episode of the series was called The Broken Crystal. And this is the one that spends the most amount of time actually dealing with the time machine and its technology and so on. And the time machine is built mostly of these old oddball components and, you know, little electronics pieces and diodes and things that came from the 1970s, or, you know, all these sorts of odd things that, while they may be a little expensive, Turner can always get a hold of them somehow. Well, this time the central crystal of the time machine breaks, and this apparently was the one really expensive piece that I think Holly's father had to mortgage the house and spent years to be able to pay for this crystal. And the crystal has broken, and it leaves them thinking, well, that's it. She can't get another crystal, so this is the end of their time travel machine. But as this goes on, they encounter another physicist who may be involved in similar types of science, someone Holly knows, of course, and there is a storyline there, and we learn about maybe there is another time machine that is in operation somewhere else, and things go from there. And of course, things also move ahead with the relationship between Slade and Turner, so it gives you quite an interesting and, for this series, rather different episode as well. So that was quite fun and quite involved in certain ways.
And as ever, we want to try and avoid spoilers as we sort of dodge around discussing these episodes. But I think it's fair to say that that last episode does leave open the possibility of future adventures for Turner and Slade. And also, as you say, Brian, for the romantic involvement of the two as well.
Yes, it sets the tone for the series to continue with series two, which of course was never made, and it sets things up so that things would be just a little bit different between the two of them and maybe in how the series runs for the next season. Okay. Interesting possibilities that of course were not followed up, but it was a nice little setup at the end of the series there.
There's still something about this that doesn't make sense.
What's that?
The diamonds. Now, they were stolen in Preston. Why did they come all the way down here?
Yeah, that's been bothering me as well. Gebler was supposed to be buying them. But where was the money? Didn't have a penny on him.
American Express?
I don't think so.
Mm-mm. I'm going home.
So let's get into that and why it didn't come back for a second series. We know that despite some slightly equivocal reviews, it did have good audience figures for a Saturday evening on British television. And we know that the first few episodes picked up an audience of about 8 million a time, which is pretty respectable. So it was reasonably popular.
Yes. And this time period, you know, around 1997, was not a big time for British science fiction on television, especially at the BBC. So having a show like this that ran and did pretty well and got some decent numbers there, that was a pretty big deal. So yes, we wonder, well, why was it not renewed? Well, Anthony Horowitz, the writer, said that it fell between the reign of two different heads of drama, so it just sort of fell through the cracks and got missed. And other sources have said maybe the viewing figures were declining, so yes, they were good at the beginning, but by the end, they were not comfortable enough to give it a second season. And there also maybe were the ideas that some critics, some of the science fiction magazines and so on, were not satisfied with this series. So they just, I suppose, weren't comfortable maybe because of that.
And so that was it, just these 8 episodes, and it never came back for the second series. Which, as always, when we're discussing things, is a great shame in a way, Brian.
Absolutely.
It is fondly remembered, and like a lot of these shows that we talk about on British Invaders, it has a bit of a cult following now. We know of at least one fan site. If you go to crimetraveller.co.uk, you will find out more information about the show and the cast and some reviews and synopses of all the various episodes. Although it does seem that that site hasn't been updated recently, but it was quite active for a while.
Yes, and while there were some negative comments and reviews and things, there definitely is something to say for this series, and it certainly does have some good comments and is well-remembered in a lot of circles as well.
So we could discuss some of the reasons why it's well-remembered. We could talk about the good and the bad of Crime Traveller, the bits we particularly liked and the bits we didn't. Brian, what most impressed you about this show?
Well, I do like this show. There are a number of things. It has a really nice look to it. It has a very nice sort of colorful look that has a nice sort of police show look, but with this twist of having the wonderful high technology but old and odd pieces time machine. So it had a nice look to it, and that was nice. I liked the fact that in many ways the characters and the stories and the setups were very much a fairly solid police show. And they could have taken most of these characters, with the possible exception of Holly Turner, and made a pretty solid police show without the time travel aspect with this grouping. And I think that was nice, and I think that stood pretty well with this.
Yes, it does look good. As you say, good production values, mixing the crime drama with the time machine itself, with its unusual look to this big Heath Robinson bodged-together machine, and lots of nice location shooting in and around London, I guess. So, you know, all looks pretty impressive. Quite stylish, I think, as well.
Yes, it definitely is stylish, especially with the two main characters, with Slade and Turner. It has very much the sort of stylish leads that have the sort of not quite a romance, but hints at a romance between them, which is quite fun.
We've got some good performances here. We've got particularly Michael French in the lead as Jeff Slade, and we've got the always powerful Sue Johnston, clearly enjoying herself as the sort of tough, no-nonsense leader of this detective team. So they're very good.
Yes, I'd have to say that if there is any weak point in the regular characters, it would have to be Chloe Annette as Holly Turner. And she was okay. She was pretty good, even. But she was not as memorable or interesting a character as some of the others, and that's mostly how the character was written.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that about Chloe Annette, because I was going to ask you whether, you know, how this compared to her performance in Red Dwarf, where certainly she's a much more humorous character, a much more sarcastic character in that show from about the same period of time. And maybe it's just as you say that she's written very straight and serious in this particular series that we're talking about, Crime Traveller. She is a very sort of hard science officer, and she's very serious about her research. And that slightly sort of, I suppose, restrains Chloe Annette.
Yeah, I think she was fine in this, but the other characters, the other actors, all had something more to do and something more to work with than those characters. When Chloe Annette was in Red Dwarf, she could bring her comic timing into play, and her comic timing is quite good. So she was able to work with that in Red Dwarf quite a bit, and she was also able to play across from Craig Charles and have some good banter and playing back and forth with him and with some others as well. She didn't quite have that opportunity, although she did have some good moments of being able to play across from Michael French and build some chemistry there. But it was still a little bit on the plain side.
Okay, interesting to compare her with Red Dwarf from the same period of time. Another performance that we liked, or that I particularly liked, and I know that Tony on the Facebook group also pointed out for us, was Bob Goody, who plays Danny, the janitor of the apartment block that Holly lives in, and that's also the apartment block where she has the time machine. And he's sort of a nicely underplayed comic role as the perpetually baffled janitor who's always puzzled by the comings and goings and how Slade and Turner appear to leave the building and then leave the building again due to the vagaries of time travel. So a nice little role there, Brian.
Yes, something that came up as a one-off in this, I believe it was in episode 6, they did have a little nod to Doctor Who in there, a little reference that I'm not going to explain it so you can discover it yourself, but it was done extremely well.
Yes, I mean, if you're doing a British show about time travel, it's difficult not to make a little nod or in-joke reference to the great British time travel show Doctor Who. We've got another Doctor Who moment as well, because we have an appearance by Mary Tam, Brian.
Yes, I really rather enjoyed Mary Tam's appearance. That was as Holly's aunt. Of course, Mary Tam played the original version of Romana on Doctor Who back in the 70s.
Okay, so there's lots of good stuff going on in Crime Traveller. There were also some bits that don't work quite so well, as with any show. I felt that some of the mysteries, some of the plot devices used to propel the mystery did get a little bit elaborate and far-fetched in places, Brian.
Yes, they did. And in part, that was to avoid Slade and Turner being able to just go back in time and witness the murder directly and then, you know, have the solution instantly. But this show had the advantage and the disadvantage of having all the episodes written by the same person. And that means that you end up with something where it is very consistent. The rules that have been set up are always obeyed properly. The tone of it works consistently. That can be a good thing, but it can also make it a little repetitive and maybe a little labored in trying to make things work and trying to get 8 different stories that follow exactly the conventions that have been set up and having one person write all of those. So I think that may account for some of the weaknesses in the storylines, but definitely you do have a certain amount of repetition in them and a certain amount of things being a little odd in order to make the stories work.
Okay. I think also with a crime drama on TV, if you're a regular watcher of TV cop shows or police procedurals, then you may well find yourself spotting the murderer before Slade and Turner do. But that's not necessarily a sort of failing of the show. It's just the way these things work on television sometimes.
Yes. And I think the directors in here did a great job, by the way. So there were some nice things there. I think if anything, the weakness in this definitely has to be the writing. It can be a little shallow, a little repetitive. And as you say, at times the mysteries are not quite as mysterious as one might hope. But still, I think this stands as an entertaining, fun little show.
Having described this show, we should talk about how you could watch it if you decide to do so. It came out as a Region 2 box set of all 8 episodes, which is currently going for about £8 on Amazon here in the UK. And it's also available for rent on Love Film.
And if you are in the US or in North America, it is available as a Region 1 DVD set as well. It runs for about $37.50 on Amazon.com, and it is available on Netflix as well.
Not much in the way of extras on those DVDs, though, Brian. I think just mainly the episodes and some plot synopses and cast and crew biographies on there, I think.
That's right. It basically just gives you the episodes.
So that's how you get hold of it. So now the big question, of course, Brian, is should you get hold of it? What's our recommendations on Crime Traveler?
Okay, well, I will say this is a recommendation. I like this. It is worth getting a hold of and watching it. It is not at the top of my list, but it is a fun, entertaining show that's, you know, not terribly deep. It's a little bit silly at times, but it's a nice, fun, short little show to watch on the side there. So I would say it is worth getting. It's worth taking a look.
Okay, I think I would agree. I think it's going to be two thumbs up on British Invaders this time. It is, as you say, quite a silly show, but it is entertaining nonsense, if it is nonsense. It's quite entertaining and fun. It's certainly, compared to some of the recent shows we've discussed, it's perhaps one of the easiest to get hold of at a cheap price, certainly here in the UK. 8 episodes, so not a huge investment in time either. And so I would recommend it. I had quite a lot of fun watching it, even though it is fairly lightweight compared to some of the stuff we've discussed.
Yes, if you're looking for a deep, involved, complex science fiction, you're not going to get it here. And we've talked about plenty of other shows that can give you that. But if you want a fun little entertaining show with some police drama, some time travel, I think this handles that quite well.
Absolutely, yep. Check out Crime Traveler.
So, in summary, Crime Traveler was a police crime drama that involved a couple of characters who had access to a time machine. And Jeff Slade and Holly Turner, as a hard-nosed detective and a forensic officer and science officer with the police force, would go back in time by a small time span and basically live through the same span of time twice in order to gather more clues about a mystery, usually a murder that has happened, and they wouldn't be able to actually witness it, but they would be able to gather more information and build up their set of clues and be able to solve the mystery each time. And in a series of 8, there were separate standalone episodes.
It's a fun show with a double recommendation from us here on British Invaders. And as always, if you watch it or if you have watched it, please let us know what you think on our Facebook group or by sending us an email.
Yes, please do that.
So next time, we jump back to the mid-70s, to 1975, and we are tackling one of the great pieces of British television science fiction. We're looking at Survivors by Terry Nation, the creator of the Daleks. So some very serious and involved science fiction for us next time, Brian.
Yes, and that is one that I will look forward to, because it is definitely one of the classics of British science fiction TV from that era. It's quite an interesting show.
It's one of the biggies. Lots to discuss next time.
For sure. So you can reach us at BritishInvaders@gmail.com, and you can find us at www.BritishInvaders.com. We have a Facebook group, so if you go to Facebook and search for British Invaders, you will find us there. So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada, signing off.
Yes, thank you very much for listening. Do let us know what you think, and we look forward to joining you next time for Survivors. Until then, this is Eamon in England saying goodbye.